Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone, once again. We are live today on the Author Larry Tune Gospel Radio Show. We have Divine Love. They call him Kenny Taylor. He's the co-host of the show. Today, our wonderful guest we have is none other than the evangelist, Darlene King from West Philadelphia. She is the author of HIV Infected by My Cheating Pastor Husband. And you can find that book on Amazon. She graduated from Great St. Matthew Baptist Church Mysterious Training. She serves on the Mysterious Staff of Discipleship of Christ. Welcome to the show, Divine Love, and welcome also to the show, our guest today, Evangelist Darlene King.
Thank you.
Okay, then we'll start it off, and then we'll go to Divine Love. We'll let him talk. You know, he's a wonderful speaker. I love to hear Divine Love speak, and I always tell him that he has a great radio voice. And he's my radio partner for, well, I say off and on 15 years now. Evangelist Darlene, how are you today?
I'm fine.
That's wonderful. Now, you're from West Philadelphia?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. West Philadelphia. When I think of West Philadelphia, I always think about Will Smith. You know,
yeah, and where I live is not too far from where his mother used to live when he was growing up. You know, it's the same neighborhood.
Oh, okay. Well, now we'll move a little. Now, how long you been evangelist?
It was 2005 is when I was licensed. 2005,
oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was licensed in 2005, but I've been working in youth ministries for now probably about 30 years, 30 or more. It's been a long time.
That is wonderful. Now, before we go to Divine Love, I want to let you get your story out, and then we'll switch it over to Divine, and then we'll come back to Divine Love again. Now, I'll let you get the story out. You can tell it better than I can, so that's why. Now, you're the author. Now, correct me on this. You're the author of, what is that, HIV Infected by My Cheating Pastor Husband? Is that
by
right?
Her Cheating Pastor Husband.
That's what I thought.
And the subtitle is A Wife's Courageous True Story of Betrayal, Survival, and Forgiveness.
Okay. Now I read that you said that you would want to inspire someone with your story. Go ahead and tell the people what it is that. How would you inspire them with your book and your story?
Well, the inspiration is that my book is basically a testimony of the power of God, the love of God, and what God can do in the midst of what you might think is the worst thing that can happen to you, how God can truly come in and turn that negative and turn it around and work it all together for your good. Now, in 1991, did I see it all working together for my good in 2016? Absolutely not. In 1991, my life was, I was crushed. And my husband and I, we knew each other for some time. We knew each other since we were about 12 years old. We went to middle school and high school together. So we basically grew up together. But my story is basically a story of when you're, if you're being sexually active, one, we live in a day and age where you cannot be sexually active without condoms. And two, I'm no longer sexually active. I'm celibate since I left my husband in 2003. But we have this in society, like, oh, you have to have sex, you have to have sex. But unfortunately, my husband had a sexual addiction. I mean, that's the only way that I can describe it, when you have someone who just cheat. So initially, he wasn't the pastor of our church. But after we got married and time went on, he did become the pastor of our church. And we started our own church. And we started a church in Claymont, Delaware, and my husband was the pastor. But even HIV did not stop him from cheating. And it's hard to tell the whole story because it's such a long story. But when you look at all that we lost everything over sex. We lost our home. He lost his job. We lost our medical. We lost our benefits. We lost our children. We lost our church. You lost your 401k, your pension plan, your every single thing that you can possibly think of for sex. And I'm here to tell someone who's listening that it's not worth it. It's not worth giving up everything that God has blessed you to have, everything that you have worked over 30 years for, to just give it up for what? So, you know, in my mind, it's not worth it. But even in the midst of us contracting HIV, the title of the book is HIV Infected by Her Cheating Pastor Husband, because it's not only just me that has been infected, but all these people he continued to cheat with, not using a condom and not telling them that he was HIV positive. So the multitude of people that has been infected by her husband, which is my husband, is I'll never know that number. I'll never know that number. I'll never know the names. But somebody hearing my story might be saved and might be delivered and might be set free from the bonds of feeling like once you've contracted this virus, your life is over. I'm here to tell somebody your life isn't over. I'm here to tell somebody that in 1991, my children were 9 months old and 5 years old. Today, my children are 31 and 26. I didn't think I would live to see my children graduate from elementary school, let alone graduate from high school, graduate from college. My oldest has graduated from college, and she just graduated from graduate school with her master's. The youngest has graduated from college. I didn't think I would live to see any of this. When I see the blessings and the multitude of what God can do in the midst of what you might think is the worst, God can truly take whatever that bad situation is and turn it around and work it together for your good. You have to trust him. You have to trust him. You have to stay in him. You have to give yourself completely over to him. Give yourself over in obedience to him, and God can and will turn that situation around. But that's my story, and I'm not someone that's any longer sitting in some sad place. I am in a place of peace and a place of rest and a place of joy in Jesus Christ. God has just been too good to me. And God has allowed me to see exceedingly, abundantly above what I could ask or think. You couldn't have told me in 1991 that I would see the things I've seen and do the things that I've done. So in a lot of ways, when I look at my story and I look at HIV, in some ways, it was a blessing. And some people might think, well, how is that a blessing? The blessing in it is that it made me look at time. It made me value time. It made me value every moment of every day. So when you think in your mind you don't have a lot of time, you start to value the time that you have. And before you know it, in my case, God then gave me 25 years, because now it's 25 years later since my diagnosis, headed to 26. In January, it'll be 26 years. So 25 and a half years of God just showing up with his mercy. But you value time, and because I value time, I changed my mindset on the things that I was doing and what became important. And what became important were the things of God and helping God's people and doing for God's people and doing for others and loving people unconditionally in spite of what their situation is. And that's my story.
That's right. God most definitely will turn it around. Please, good. And I'm going to play the episode on Facebook. They're going to hear it because If you don't call in today, see what I do, I take the episode and I play it. And I play it, I make people hear it. So they're going to hear you, the story. They're going to get it out. And see, God will turn it around. Oh, you're good. And see, like you're listening to people, you know what you're going through. God, you don't want to see what you're going through. You just might say, well, God, you know, you're doing me wrong. I can't take what's going on. But like you said, she did low back in 1991. That she would be seeing her kids graduate. She didn't know that it would, her life would have changed for the better. But it did. See, like you said, you got to trust in God. Divine love. Would you like to add anything? Divine love. This is co-host. Welcome to the show, Divine Love. They call him Arthur Kenny Taylor. And Nick Aim is we call him Divine Love. Divine love.
Thank you. Well, I don't know. I listen, and I know the power of God. And the power of God is manifest to me it's every day. And now today, in this reality, you know, my thing, I would say, being delivered, being saved, being cured, being made whole. And you say you are ministering to the children, I'm talking about the children of this generation, whether it be human or divine, they are God's children. See,
amen.
They need to know divinity. They need to know divinity. They need to know the power of God. See, the power of God is not so much in the testimony as it is in what you do. Now, what I'm saying today, our children, they don't hear the word queen mother, queen too, a royal and divine being. I've been out here a long time dealing with it. And all I'm saying is we have to come to a place where when we speak royalty and divinity to our children, they know exactly what we're talking about. But we have to be the example. For my queen, for me, we royal and divine. See, the purpose is divine. I say the purpose is divine. If you are delivered, you are saved, and you're brought to the soul in time. You're brought to you for a divine purpose, a divine reason, to fulfill a divine mission. I'm saying the mission today is to instill in our children as solid as a rock of the vault, royalty and divinity. But they are loyal and the land.
Yes.
I'm saying, for me, as we go forward, this reality does not change. My queen, we loyal and the land today. I understand. I'm a faith preacher. I've been through the whole thing. Bishop of the Christ, I've been through a lot of things. But the thing that I found that was stable, unmovable, couldn't fall down, was love itself. So love is my God. It's about the love that you can feel, the love that you can touch, the love that motivates you, inspires you. See, that's my God. See, the power, love is the power of God. Manifest. I mean, you are manifesting even now, even today as we speak. You are manifesting the power of God. I mean, especially for our children. So I'm just proud to be here with you, and I thank God for you. You know.
Amen. I appreciate that, Divine Love, and everything you said is so true, and I hope you can hear me. I know, you know, that there might be some through the background noise. I know you guys might be someplace where there's you can't cut off the background, but when I go and I speak a lot to about HIV, and I try as often as I can to speak to young people, because I want them to know that they are worth the wait. You know, society put these societal norms is not the norms in which God has already ordained and put in place. So in society, kids think, oh, you go on a date and date means sex. No, you are worth the wait. Young boys, young girls, you are worth the wait. We look at our peers and we look at what everyone else is doing and we think, okay, this is the way it's done. Come up to 2016. No, we need to go back. We need to go back, establish a relationship, establish a relationship on the boundaries in which God has set in place for you, and I'm telling you, you will be so much happier. I tell children all the time, if people are really honest with you, those of us like myself who made the mistake of having sex as a teenager, if we had the chance to do it all over again, we would do something different. And if I believe if us as adults are willing to talk to our teens and tell our teens the mistakes that we did as a teenager and let them know they're worth the wait, trust me, that person that you're with at 16 and 17 is most likely not going to be the person that you're going to marry. Don't give yourself away. And I'm talking boys and girls. This isn't just for girls. Boys and girls, don't give yourself away. You will be so much happier if you save yourself for that person that God has preordained just for you. And that person in that time will come. But while you're in the wait, there's a blessing in the wait. God is in the midst of the wait. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We don't have to conform to this world, but we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Renew our thinking on dating. Turn dating back to courting. Courting that person that you love. And if you believe that you love them and they're the one for you, 5, 10 years from now, after you've had a chance to finish high school, finish college, if they're the one, they'll still be there. But you, like you said, they are queens and they are kings and they are worth the wait. And I just want to add one more thing, you know, as people hear the title of my book, sometimes when people hear the title, they think it's a negative book and a man-bashing book when it really isn't. It's a testimony of my life, of what happened before HIV, what happened during HIV, and where God has me today. And one of the things I'm trying to make sure I tell people is when you hear the story of one pastor cheating, that is not all the pastors in the world. People say, oh, they all do that. No, they don't. There are wonderful, faithful men and women of God all over this world. And unfortunately, the one can mess it up and make it seem like they all are doing the same thing. I'm only talking about one individual in this book that I was married to. That is not all. I have a wonderful, faithful pastor. I'm sure all of you have wonderful, faithful pastors, and I know wonderful, faithful men and women of God all over the state of Pennsylvania. So I say to you, you're worth the wait, and don't put everybody in a box. But let every man stand on his own ground, stand on the foundation that is in his heart.
Right. It's about awareness, you know, and you're trying to compare your story and have the people aware, you know, of what can happen, you know. And that's nothing wrong with letting the people know the dangers that lies ahead on their pathway. Wise, see, wise is the key. Being wise is the key. Education is the key. You know, you just don't want nobody to go down that pathway. That's all. That's all you're trying to do. You're just trying to educate the youth. Cause of the youth and Kenan Taylor, Divine Love, he developed the Boys Club, and we'll let him tell you about that in a minute. But you know, I think we all have the same, you know, idea in mind with the kids. And I always look the people that God put me in contact with. I know this person God put me in contact with. They got a Boys Club. They got a abuse and a battle women. They stand up for them. And I think, well, God put me in the midst of all these people. Why do all these people do the same thing I do? Because it's not me that's doing it. See, it God knows how to get his word across. If nobody opens their mouth for him to say one word, he gets his word across. See, I just want people to know that God is an awesome God. He don't need anyone, really. He don't need anyone, but he loves you. He loves you.
Yes.
And
he is
a merciful God.
Amen. I may have missed some of what you said from the background noise, but when you were saying educate others, that's what I try to do. We need to be educated about HIV because we still look at HIV, and oftentimes people look at it as if it's gone, it's not around anymore, it's not happening anymore. But in our African American and Latino communities, HIV continues to be on the rise. It has not gone down in infections. It has continued to go up. To know that we live in a day and age, because I know everyone is not going to not be sexually active. We know that many people are sexually active. So as ministers and preachers of the gospel, we can't sit back and like some kind of bury our head in the sand as if people aren't having sex. I mean, we're watching babies being born over and over again, and they're not all the Immaculate Conception. So therefore, we know that our Christians, and along with everybody else in the world, is having sex. So then we have to protect ourselves. If you're going to have sex, you cannot have sex without using a condom in this day and age.
Right.
Now, there are some ministers that don't agree with telling people to use condoms. They don't believe in promoting condoms. I believe in you saving yourself from this virus if you can. I don't want you to end up in a position where you're on medication for the rest of your life. I don't want you in a position where you find out 5-10 years down the road, when your body has already started to deteriorate and your T cells and your viral load has gone out of whack. So I try to talk to young people and anybody that'll listen and say, if you're going to be sexually active, use a condom. But also, if you find yourself in this situation, it is no longer the death sentence that we looked at it as in 1991, because there is medications that can help you to stay alive. There is medications that can bring your count up. But the key part is seeing health professionals and getting the medication the moment that you find out with this diagnosis, and you won't find out unless you're regularly tested. And if you're sexually active, you need to be having an HIV test every 6 months if you're sexually active. And I'm talking from teenagers all the way up to senior citizens, because our senior population is being infected just as the highest age group, which is 13 to 24. 13 to 24 is our babies. We don't want to see our babies in this situation, but they are in this situation, so we can't deny and not talk about sex and not talk about condoms as if it's not happening while we allow our children to find themselves in a really bad, precarious situation, and then it's too late. So I talk to young people. I try to be real with young people, because I know everybody is not going to listen to my "you're worth the wait" speech. I'm going to give it, but I know everybody is going to do what they desire to do.
Right.
And we can only pray that our children wait, but we know that the reality is there are many teenagers that are having sex and many adults that are having sex.
That is true. This to them. We need someone to point it out to them. And right now, we're in advance with, I say, about 7 minutes. I'm not in the studio, about 7 minutes. And we introduced them before the show, Evangelist Darlene King and Divine Love. That's his cyberspace name. They call him Divine Love. In reality, they call him Divine Love. And I got these two, you know, to talk to each other, because I want them to be in tune with each other. So right now, we got about 8 minutes left, and I want Divine Love, is there any more things to, and I hope there is, that you would like to say to Miss Darlene King, Divine Love?
Well, thank you. Well, for my queen, and I say my queen, because divine love is not just a word, it's not just a name. It is a state of being, it is an existence. But then to be restored until it's anything, to be restored whole and complete. See, there are no impossibilities with God. There are no impossibilities with love. But then, for me, when it comes down to immorality, see, I think sex should come after love. And when I say after love, see, love Love bears the responsibility of burden. Love is all that's good. So that instead of just having sex as people think or just saying you're correct, people should, I mean, this is where I live. I'm an old man now, so it doesn't really matter. But where I live is, if it's not love, then it's a sin. If it's not love, you say, well, young people are having sex, old people are having sex, everybody's having sex. But you have to understand, that's outside the realm. That's outside the realm of love. Because love is responsible, not just for your actions, but for your conduct and your behavior. You have to take responsibility for yourself and for the child that is unborn. Yeah, I teach young people, boys and girls club. We started in Cleveland, Mississippi, back in 1997. So it's been a while back. But we started the boys and girls club. But the boys and girls club was for the young people. Because at that time, people were dying of AIDS. They weren't talking about it so much. So we started an AIDS awareness conference in the state of Mississippi. That people might know there's a consequence for your actions. And there's a greater consequence for sin. So then we say, love one another. Take responsibility. You fail, sin, young men, take responsibility for your people. Take responsibility for the unborn king. I mean, take responsibility. See, we in a place now where you talk about liberation and freedom. Yes, you are free. But don't get so carried away that you lose sight of your responsibility and your spiritual obligation. You know,
Amen.
Love children first. I mean, before you lay down with somebody talking about having sex or having a good time, think about the consequence. What's going to happen to the child? He's going to be out in the street before police don't kill him? I mean, going to be incarcerated in some state in prison somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to the child? Think about that. Before you have sex, prepare a place. You should have a prepared place. A queen should have a castle. And a god. The world. I mean, you got to prepare your children, or prepare yourself first. Prepare yourself first. See,
Amen.
Most times when we hit the ditch, we say, wow, there's a ditch over there. But you should have known that before you should know where you go. There's only one way, and love is that way. Now, love is the way, the truth, the light. Love is it. And you know, there is no other. If you go around here trying to play games, I don't care if you're a Christian, a politician, a crackhead. I don't care what you are. Love is real. Love will never fail. So before you engage to go to bed with somebody, anybody, make sure you got a life.
And that is so true. And we have to also think about those spirits that you're about to intertwine with and you're about to become one with. And we weren't meant to just become one with every single person that we pass in that manner. So, yes, thank you, Divine Love, for that. That is so true.
They tell us we got 1 minute left. And they told us, you know, thank you, Divine Love. Thank you, Divine Love. And they told us, you on the line, we'd like to say anything to Evangelist Darlene King. You have about 1 minute.
Thank you for inviting me. Both of you, Mr. Toombs and Divine Love, I truly appreciate it being on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And then,
same thing
to Mr. Darlene King.
I would just like to say, I just thank her for coming on the show today. And I was glad to hear what I got to hear and hear her to keep on bringing the good word.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Divine Love. Thank you, Divine Love. It's the Magic Darlene King, Divine Love, and the tune. I thank you. I love y'all. I thank you for coming on for the last seconds, the last 56 seconds. I will tell you already, have a good day. God bless you. But go ahead on in our evangelist, and you go ahead on talk the last probably 60 seconds, evangelist. Thank you, Divine Love. Go ahead. You got 60 seconds left. Evangelist Darlene King from West Philadelphia, live on the Dr. Radio Show. Go ahead, Evangelist.
Amen. And only thing I want to add to that is, let's get rid of the stigma when it comes to HIV. We have to show the love of God to everyone that's living with this disease. And no, you can't get it from handshakes and dishes. You can only get it from semen and from vaginal fluid, from blood and from breast milk. That's it. There's only four ways, and that requires intimate contact with an individual. So show love to everyone that you know with this virus and any illness so that we can let them know they are God's children and we love them and we love them unconditionally. Thank you again for having me.
Okay, we got 10 seconds. Thank you, goodbye, love, right in that tune. Thank you, Evangelist Darlene King, for being my guest today live on the Alpha Lab Tune Gospel Radio Show. Have a good day. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.